Monday! Open wide dev fans! Get ready to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, Node Modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax on this Monday hasty treat. We are going to be talking about some TypeScript fundamentals. We're going to be talking about what is called type narrowing, discriminating unions, and type guards. Basically, we're going to be helping you solve some of those errors that pop up in your TypeScript code that make you very frustrated because you say, hey, this thing is supposed to be this thing. Why is it giving me an error? My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Can you narrow... What's is that from? Is that Simpsons?
I don't know. I've never heard that of words in that melody.
Can you narrow? There's like a...
Oh, can you narrow? Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of says Simpsons to me.
Oh, that's a good one. A Simpsons. I don't do very many Simpsons jokes, but that one came out of left field.
It did. Mighty out of left field. What didn't come out of left field, Wes, is our two sponsors today, which is Sentry and Payments Hub. So Sentry is the perfect place to see all of your errors and exceptions and mark them as done, attach them to releases, attach them to GitHub issues, or even just users. You can create an issue directly from something that is an issue, an exception in your code. You can assign it to a user right then and there. And more importantly, you can see all of the things you might want to know to solve that issue. For instance, right, maybe what operating system, what browser? Ooh, like you can see that this is coming in from an Internet Explorer on an old Windows computer. You might say, you know what? I don't need to solve this issue. I feel like I don't need to solve this issue because this is going to be more trouble than it's worth. Either way, Sentry is the perfect place to keep track of everything that's going on in your application and make sure it's working its very best. So head on over to sentry.io, use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll get 2 months for free. Thank you so much for Sentry for being such a great sponsor.
We got a brand new sponsor on, so hold on and listen to this. Payments Hub is a new sponsor of us, and they do some really cool stuff around easy to use APIs and SDKs that you can integrate into your application. And this is not just you throw it on your website and you sell something. They offer a full fleet of APIs that allow you to integrate it into some software. You can integrate it into a point of sale system. So like if you are building something that allows your product to go ahead, like you built a product and your product is used by people who then need to onboard other people, you need to underwrite them. You have merchants in there, they have to process their payments, they provide data analytics via the API, they do all kinds of stuff. And like this seems like, I don't want to say the Swiss Army knife, but like this seems like the API set that you need if you need to be able to do some very complex stuff with your payment integration, like from very low level all the way through to accepting payments. It looks awesome. They also they've sent us over some stuff that I'm just really excited about having this sponsor on myself because this seems really, really neat. Their code samples and everything looks pretty slick. They have some ad read here that I'll rattle through for you as well. Their dev portal gives you easy to use APIs and SDKs that allow developers to create e-commerce websites, develop in-person point of sale applications, and launch full featured omni-channel payment solutions. Our API rich product landscape is ideal for partners interested in programmatic merchant onboarding and accessing payment transaction data through an API. Looks really sweet. So you want to check it out at developer.paymentshub.com/syntax. They have a really neat landing page that allows you just to quickly go through. They also have like lots of products. And on the products page, it will tell you which ones are PCI compliant and which ones aren't, and like which one you have to specifically choose if you need to be following different different compliance, which is very much appreciated because I've gone down that rabbit hole before. Check it out. developer.paymentshub.com/syntax.
Yeah. And give that landing page a check too, like you just mentioned, because it's always nice when these companies, they give us a little landing page just for our listeners to, yeah, just to say, here's what's up, you know, here's what's going on. And I think Payments Hub did a great job here. So thank you for Payments Hub for being a new sponsor.
Yeah, welcome. All right, so let's get into TypeScript fundamentals. We've done a couple TypeScript fundamentals episode. And I was just going through all of the notes and planning for my TypeScript course. And I was going through the area that you hit, type narrowing and creating type guards. And I said, I don't think we've actually ever talked about this on the podcast before. So we're going to dive into explaining. I think this is one of those things that sounds scarier than it is. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I was about to say that.
So it's like, discriminating unions, type guards, type narrowing. Ooh, that sounds complicated. And it kind of just boils down to in TypeScript, you got to check that you got the right type before you go ahead and use it. There is no assuming in TypeScript, I think is the way that I would like to put it. And TypeScript will yell at you if you try to assume that the data or the type coming in is what you assume it is. And TypeScript will
make an ass out of you.
Exhaustively check it. So should we start off with explaining what type narrowing is?
Yeah. So type narrowing is basically you're thinking about when things are defined as types, it's not always clear cut whether this thing is a string, a number, or whatever. Sometimes it's multiple things. And then as you go, you might want to be using specific properties on one thing that don't exist on another thing. So let's say you had a variable that was a number or a string. Type narrowing is basically where you're saying, all right, I want to use a string method on this thing that doesn't exist in a number method or a method on a number type. So therefore, I need to narrow the type down to be a string, so to say, so that we're not going to get an error saying you cannot use two lowercase on property of number or whatever that ends up being. The most common error that you do see associated with this is argument type of this or this or this or this is not assignable to parameter type of this. Type blank is not assignable to type blank.
Yeah. What?
It's probably the most common error that you see in TypeScript when you're getting going with it, you're working it, you're feeling very comfortable TypeScript, and then all of a sudden you say, how is this possible? I feel like I've done everything in my power to say that this is a string. And that's not always the case, and we're going to talk a little bit about some strategies here.
Yeah. Another example I have here that's coming from my upcoming course is that you've got a function that takes in a food, and that food could either be a food is kind of the generic type, and then we extend the generic food type and we create a sandwich and we create a pizza, right? And if you have a function that takes in either a sandwich or a pizza, and in that function, there might be like toast, right? You don't want to, but you don't want to toast your pizza. You only want to toast the bread of the sandwich, right? So you might want you might just go ahead and say toast the bread. And it's going to say, hey, hold on. I see that you could toast a sandwich, but it's also possible that somebody is passing in a pizza in this case, and you haven't written any code that makes you check that it is a toastable food before moving in, right? So type narrowing would be just as part of that function, you would either check that it is a toastable food first before you go ahead and do the functions that are toasting, or you would convert, like Scott said, you would convert the number to a string so that you're dealing with apples and apples before you go ahead and go through the rest of the function.
Yeah. It's amazing how many times the food examples creep into the show. It's funny. It's so funny that it would be like, we could have like a T-minus, or food was last mentioned, sandwiches were last mentioned X amount of days ago on the show, because it always ends up going there. But I think they're good examples, definitely. So first off is going to be one of the easiest ways to type guard, something that you're going to see very commonly, and that's just checking the type of the thing in a conditional. You'll frequently see this as like type of variable is equal to a string, right? If maybe you have like a union type that's either a string or a number, if you successfully wrap in an if statement, if this variable is type of string, then do this following thing, then that's going to fix that error because now you've added an explicit check to make sure that the thing is a string before you try to use a string method. And I use this myself, even in template code all over the place, in some JSX or TSX or Svelte template code. All of that can be happy with the methods you're trying to use or pass down as things get more narrow.
Yeah, that doesn't work with TypeScript types. So you couldn't say, if it is a type of dog or type of animal or any of the custom TypeScript types that you've created. And the reason behind it actually doesn't even work all that well with objects. And the reason behind that is because if you say type of like an array, it will tell you that it's an object, right? Like almost everything in JavaScript past your basic, what, strings, numbers, booleans, are just objects. So once you pass those sort of simple ones, there's a couple other ways you could check if something is a type. You could check if it has a property that you're looking for. So you can use the property in object. Like, let's say you're trying to check if something was a podcast and you say, okay, I know that a podcast will have an MP3 property. You could say if MP3 in podcast or MP3 in audio, then go ahead. And in that case, you're checking that it has. And TypeScript will say, okay, I'll let that go because that's the only possible other type that's being passed in that would have an MP3 property. But if you pass in two things that were totally separate, then I'm going to catch you on that, right? So you could do prop in. You can also just say if object.property. So if media.mp3, the downside to using the dot notation is that if you're using classes and extending prototypes, then that will also look up the prototype chain. And that might not be what you want. So if you want to actually check if the instance is on the thing or not, you can use the in.
Yeah. And you can also use instance of as well for this type of thing, where instance of will also check up the prototype chain. So if you were to say, let's say you had a variable. Variable is an instance of a date, then you would know that you have access to the date methods, that things that yeah. you would typically have on a date and not on a string. So in union types, you can always use instance of as well to narrow the branch, so to say.
Oh, that's a really good example, actually. I was just like, I was writing examples of like custom classes, but like the date is one that's built in, right? Anything yeah. that you need to use new on in JavaScript, so new date is mm-hmm. an example, or if you create your own class and you want to say new food or new sandwich, then you can check if it is an instance of, because that object has been generated as an instance of as an instance of the one they created. I'm sorry, can't speak.
Yeah, definitely something that you probably hit more with any types of classes or complex objects.
Yeah, more in object-oriented programming is much more common for you to run into that type of thing. But it's you can still hit that in React as well. So you definitely need that in your tool belt. And then the last one we have here is just a custom type guards. And that is not anything that we didn't just talk about, but there is an idea in TypeScript. Instead of stuffing your functions full of if statements, you can take the logic out of those functions and just put them in their own functions. So you could say function is sandwich that accepts a type of food. And then from that, you can just return if any of the type of, the in, the property check, or the instance of. And that will return a Boolean. But the only like the kind of like the weird thing or the interesting thing about that in TypeScript is the return type of a type guard. Again, remember, a type guard is just a function that returns whether something is a type or not using all the methods we just talked about. But the return type is not a Boolean. It's a return something is like
yeah,
the property is the type. So there's nothing else in TypeScript like that. You're always returning a string, a number, a Boolean, a custom type, an interface, But in this case, you say, I am specifically making this a type guard by saying, in my case, the food argument that is passed to the function is sandwich. And that will tell TypeScript this is a type guard and is good enough to check for what I want.
Interesting that I've never ever done that before. And this is honestly my first time seeing this as a strategy. I've just never had to reach for this, but I think this is really neat.
I was looking into it and I was like, why not just put an if statement inside your function, right? That's what I usually do. And that's good enough. Yeah. But I guess the idea behind it I saw was that some people were saying you shouldn't be putting that logic in your function because that is not what your function does. So it's better to move it out into its own function, which I can see. And then also it's more reusable. If you have a much more complex type guard, it's not a good idea to replicate that check 3 or 4 times. In my case, right. It's almost always a one-liner. Who cares, right? But it's nice to stick it in a separate function, I guess.
It seems like it's the classic abstract away, sweep under the ugly stuff underneath the rug, right? You have all these ugly if checks. You can just sweep it into a singular function that does the check for you. I think that the syntax is the blank is food is sandwich as the return type is really interesting as well.
Yeah.
Now, I also saw type narrowing with this is. Have you seen that, Wes?
Ooh, I don't think so. This is.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is an interesting one where you can use this is type, where you're basically defining the type of this. So you can specify this is type in the return position for methods in classes and interfaces. When mixed with type narrowing, the type of the target object would be narrowed to the specified type. So you're basically saying inside of the constructor, this is type. It's so funny to say.
Okay. Yeah. It goes inside a constructor.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Cause if it's being bound to that. Interesting. Especially if it's like being extended.
Yeah. See, me and OOP, it's not something that I do a whole lot of.
I bet where that is handy is if you have a base type like food, and then you have something that is extending it and you run super. And then super will run the original constructor first before you go ahead and finish your constructor of the extended type. I wonder if it's as handy in those use cases.
Yeah.
Tweet us at SyntaxFM if you know, because I'm not a big object-oriented programmer. So it's definitely not one of those areas I've touched.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I see in the docs here and I say, that's neat. And then I never run into that issue in my code. So maybe there'll be someday when I'm actually writing object-oriented programming where the perfect opportunity to use this is will come up and I'll rejoice. But so far I have not used it myself personally. I would love to see some real practical examples of it.
Next one is, this is kind of in the same area of type narrowing, type guards, is this thing called discriminating unions. So often a union is basically a list of types where it could be this, or it could be this, or it could be this. And often within those, let's say you have three types, let's go back to my sandwich or pizza example, right? Sandwich or pizza, they both have their own properties. Like a pizza would have toppings and a sandwich would have bread type. But they also will share things like a best before date is the example that I've used, right?
Man, you are so good with these food metaphors.
Right? So if you, a discriminating union is that you are passing in a value of food and you have to check on those fields that are different from each other, right? Like you say, okay, the example of the TypeScript docs is really good as well as network state. Your network can either be loading, it could be failed, or it could be success. And the network state will have three different possible states, and the network state will share possible state values. But then they will not share things like a successful response or an error will be different, right? And being able to check for those values inside of your function is important. Otherwise, TypeScript is going to yell at you again.
Yeah, TypeScript frequently likes to yell at you. And that is one of the things that like kind of turns people off of TypeScript occasionally, right? Because it's yelling at you so much. But I do think being able to control types from type narrowing and using many of these techniques that we talked about in this episode is like one of the key ways that you go from being like, TypeScript is controlling my life to I'm controlling TypeScript.
Yeah, I found, and I think I still find this, but especially when I started TypeScript, it was just like it's making you, and it's not that TypeScript is being annoying. Well, it is. It is annoying, but it's doing it because there's a possibility that you could goof this up, or there's a possibility that somebody passes. The very basic example that we didn't cover here is that it's possible that this thing is going to be undefined. And if you do not handle the case for this thing being undefined, then at some point you're going to have a bad day and your application is going to crash, or you're going to send out an email that has undefined in it. Like my, I popped open something on my Google Home the other day and it just said undefined. And I was like, that's a case. They did not properly account for that being undefined.
Yeah. And it should go to say, you know, especially if you're new to TypeScript here, there are many times when it can feel like TypeScript is wrong. You're like, I've done everything I need to do here. TypeScript is wrong. And I'm going to tell you straight up, that's never the case. It's always something that you have done. And it's always an issue with the types that you're narrowing or attempting to narrow. So if you are getting some of these errors and you can't figure it out, it's one of those core problems, I think, when you get into TypeScript is learning how to find and just squish these types of issues in TypeScript. Because it is, even though, like you said, it is, you know, is yelling at you. It's at the end of the day, it is, you know, trying to save your butt.
Or even saying, am I approaching this wrong? Unfortunately, you know, like, am I doing this wrong? I find it really helpful to talk to people who have hit that possible issue. And the question is not, how do I fix this? Is maybe do I need to step back one step behind that and reshape how I wrote my types or just like how I wrote this function, you know?
Is TypeScript wrong? No, you are wrong.
It's not me, is it? It might be.
It's always
cool. Yeah. I think that's it from me. Anything else to add here?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think this nails it.
Cool. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you on Wednesday. Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.